Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Right now, I'm also filling in some space with information as it pops up. Of course, news carries that. Rose does it better than anybody. We'll make sure that we cover that and pick up on things that she is mentioning, but also other items that I have, such as who may be leading for the ambassador position at the UN. I'm looking at the local news of the Post-Gazette this morning, and I see a photograph of children, and they're praying the rosary and over at St. Thomas More Catholic Church in Bethel Park. And I understand October is the month of the Holy Rosary in the Catholic faith. So it seemed to me when I saw that, it reminded me about this reorganization within the church and what it means, and I've had people come to me. How do I put this? I've had some people come to me and just say, hey, listen, there's more to it than just consolidation. There's been such bad administration in effect for a long period of time. This is the price that we as parishes have to pay, and this isn't good. Now, as I anticipate, it's going to go forward, so I don't really know what that means, except to say that, you know, it raises some more sinister questions about why they need to have the money. If they need to have the money for survivability, I think most people would accept that. It's like the chicken and the egg. You know, why did the faith start to lose, and then that led to the idea of losing money, or did they lose money because they lost the faith? And if they need the money, is it only to survive, or is it to pay bills? And I'll leave it at that. Also, I have this on my mind, the cultural district, the metal detectors, rolling out this weekend. I don't even know if this is one that gets reaction or thought, other than to apply perhaps on a broader level. This is going to start to roll out the Byam Theater this weekend, and then it's going to roll out over time, August Wilson Center, August 20th. You know, the websites are very good. They give you the list of venues, what the safety steps are. There's a video. It's not as invasive as it would be, let's say, at airports or places like that. You don't have to take your belt and your shoes off, thank God. And yet, on the other hand, this is what we see now. We see it, of course, at different stadiums. We see it at the airports. I mean, it's become part of life. I don't know who would have an objection to something like this. I mean, they say get there a little bit earlier. Get a drink. Talk to people. I wonder if there are people who are actually rankled by this. It's different. But then on a different level altogether, I'm not so sure. We've already talked about it with schools. That's a no-brainer. Large public venues, that's a no-brainer. The airport's a no-brainer. I don't know what's off limits. I don't want to have it at church. 866-391-1020. Melania says she might be the most bullied person. I could say I'm the most bullied person in the world, judging on what people are saying about her. She also goes on to say, I guess this is on Good Morning America, that she had trouble with some of her husband's people in the White House, and that there are people that she can't trust, and the president can't trust. Didn't name names, but she's let her husband know about them. She said some of those people don't work there anymore, but some still do. I think she's one of the most elegant first ladies I've ever seen. And I'm not just saying that purely on... I like how she handles herself. I think she's a real asset for the president. She's underutilized. I like when she, like others, go out and make their own way. I like first ladies who have their own space of development and things of that sort. Hers is, of course, Be Best. Mrs. Obama had a lot. Mrs. Bush had a lot. I like that. Jackie Kennedy, we can go on and on. I do think she's ridiculed a lot, and I think that's because of where we are and who we are. And I do think she gets some shots because, quite honestly, is how attractive she is. And she's a supermodel. And whatever she wears is going to get that much more attention. I mean, there's already obviously a lot of spotlight. I think she got to pull it back with the most bullied in the world. I mean, I probably could list a few other people that are more bullied, and all I'd have to do is probably drive down to the local high school. And I'm not giving her as much grief as it sounds, as much as I'm thinking to myself, okay, just don't start that. If you don't trust people in the White House, that's cool. Let the president know. That's fine. But, and if you're going to go out there, recognize that there's going to be a bullseye. That's just the way it works. And when you're beautiful and what you wear and how you wear it and how much it costs and things of that sort, and whether you wear a white hat when you're in Africa and it reminds people of colonialism, that's just part of the deal. But it doesn't make you the most bullied person in the world. Again, go to a local high school. Go to a local grade school. Go to a neighborhood where the idea of playing it right and playing it safe and trying to keep in the right lane is not the most prevalent point of view. So here's the deal. I have one line I'm going to get to. I have Rich, Lower Borough, George, and Clareton. He goes by Jorge. Ann and Forest Hills, all on the Catholic issue. We're going to do that in a moment because I'm already through this segment. I always consider Thanksgiving, by the way, is, and you're going to think I'm crazy. I have fun as like anybody else with football and the parades and family, but I've always looked at that as like a quasi-religious holiday. I'm giving thanks to whom? Dig? I found this article that talks about all these stores, 60-plus stores, nearly 70 closed on Thanksgiving. I didn't know about that. I'll bring that up during the show as well this hour. I'm Ellis Cannon. Get on that line, 866-391-1020. All right, let's get to calls regarding the Catholic Church. Start off with Rich in Lower Borough. Rich, I'm Ellis Cannon. Welcome to the show.
Thank you, Ellis, for taking my call. I just want your comment on the following. I think one way that the Catholic Church in the United States can regain its valuable reputation is to sever all ties with the Vatican. The Vatican is the governing body of the Catholic Church, and let's face it, they've made some terrible decisions as far as governing the Catholic Church, and I just don't think we need the Vatican. We should not be supporting the Vatican. We need to support the Catholic Church in the United States.
I never heard that. That's quite a point of view. You know there's an Orthodox Church, and then you know, there's the Orthodox Church of America. It's interesting you draw that, brought that up. I mean, so when you look at, I mean, do you feel that it's basically, I don't want to put words in your mouth, it's so sinister, it's so messed up, there's so much baggage being attached to the Vatican that it'd be better off if you really want to blow it up to take a step that dramatic?
Yes, there are other issues besides the child molestation. There's embezzlement. There's the alleged homosexuality of the Curia that we all hear about. And you're right. It's a mess. I don't think we're doing well by letting them govern us. I think we could do a better job in the United States.
Are you Catholic?
Yes, I am.
Yeah, I apologize. It may be too personal, but I couldn't recall if you asked it. And that actually matters in this point of view. What do you make of the local reorganization going forward, how it affects people, affects you, that type of thing?
I think what's happening, if you look at the church schedules and the masses, I think it was done purposely in such a manner as to actually preempt the closing of the churches. Let's face it, we have there's a church in Natron that I had belonged to. They have one mass on a Sunday morning at 9:30. If you look at the confession schedules, no, let's face it, no one goes to confession anymore. That's one thing I should just get rid of. But confession schedules, out of seven churches, there's only three confessions for 1 hour each. It's like they're doing this purposely to close these churches down.
Well, I'll tell you what, you get rid of confessions, you got to get rid of church, because then that's central to me. But, you know, I appreciate your point, man. I got to tell you, Rich, that's quite a point of view. The Catholic Church of the United States, wow. I that caught me way out of left field. I don't even know how that's even feasible. I knew this conversation would go in interesting places. George and Clareton, my friend, how are you?
Dallas, my man. I was thinking one reason why you like Melania is not just because of her looks. She's a Slovenian and from the former Yugoslavian Republic.
That's a little really yeah, sure. I mean, you want me to lie? I mean, she speaks seven. Sure. She speaks seven languages, for God's sake.
That's right. That's right. And she could probably cook some good sarma, and leg of lamb.
No, she put that garlic in there. No question about it.
Yeah, poke some holes in all of the basil,
she got
oil.
Some shlevo. Yeah.
I can smell it. Call me in a couple hours. Hey, but you know, you go back to the military gentleman, the retired officer, before the hour ended.
What a call.
What he was saying, and yeah, great, and how to expand and how to really solve problems. That's one thing we don't do in any sector, whether it's like a religious sector with the Catholic Church, public sector, private sector, education. All we do is get lost in the behavior. We don't research any cause and effect. We don't do anything that we've probably been taught at some time if we're halfway educated or to educate those. All we do is the flavor of the millisecond. You know, I'm still wondering if Trump ever got hit for a collusion.
Hey, you know what? Hey, Georgie, yeah, because you know what? Look, I could go off on all of Erie last night, but I'm not doing that show. But you know, we could. It is like the WWE when he gets up there. I mean, the stuff that's being said and being written and being accepted as truth is unbelievable. But that goes a little bit to what you're talking about. That we don't seemingly have that. I'll go a step further, and you know, I've made this point many times. We not only seemingly have a taste for that right now, or a willingness. Or an ability, we deny and reject those who actually do it, who are
exactly.
Experts.
Well, wasn't he under the tutelage of McMahon at one point a while back?
That's an interesting point. I mean,
I think he was.
Yeah, well, I do know that McMahon's wife is in the cabinet. But, you know, interesting, because I tell you what, George, I'm going to refer you to this piece written by George Will, who the last time I checked is not Abby Hoffman. And he talks about just the act of trolling and very much the acceptance of things that are not real. And for that matter, this is so Will, it's so Willian. The most cogent distillation of urgently needed thinking. I don't even know what that means. But he actually talks about people have accepted the idea that Elvis is still alive and we basically repeat untruths. All right, Ann in Forest Hills, I'm going to come at you next at 866-391-1020, 866-391-1020. Oftentimes, I try to give you the television number, and then on TV, sometimes I like to give you the KDK number. I'm new. We'll continue with that. Cultural district, you know, I should have asked George this, because George is such a high roller. He's so much into the elitism that is Clareton. That I imagine him going to the cultural district as frequently as he does, which is a good 3 to 4 times a week, having metal detectors is not cool. My mistake. But I do know it's Scott Steeler's turn right now. It was so funny. Amelia just came in and said, so this Catholic Church thing, why? And I said, well, first and foremost, I see this article in the Post-Gazette today, praying the rosary, and I guess the rosary is, October's the month of the Holy Rosary, okay? Then, even before that, I have a candidate running for the state house receiving the hairy eyeball for posing with a political sign at the Warhol grave, which happens to be at a Catholic cemetery. Then I remember this guy, and another guy telling me about, hey, this stuff with the reorganization is just so uncool. Okay, well, here we go. You know, Amelia, you've been around me enough. You know, I know what I want to talk about, but sometimes I'm not sure exactly how we're going to get there. Sometimes it's dead on. It's really easy. Now, this woman who's running, this Democrat who's running, she's not using this in the political sense. She's out there and she's putting this at campaigns and sending photographs and Facebook. At least I hope not. That's what I understand. But I guess this gravesite is almost literally surveilled 24/7. So somebody found it, boom, took a photo. It's a grainy thing, but nonetheless, it's not a good look. She says it's not political. That would be like me bouncing off dice, bouncing dice off a tombstone and saying it had nothing to do with gambling. Who shot Jesse James? I mean, come on. You can't do that. That's nuts. Hey, Rose isn't nuts. She's next, though, on KDK Radio. All right. We're in the second half of today's game, all the way to 3 o'clock. I'm going to introduce Dina Powell to you in just a little bit. And I'll give you an update, speaking of the political front. An update on Conor Lamb and also Keith Rothfuss. And it's an update, not even so much about the lead that Conor Lamb has in the new 17th, but some key points that I've raised with you before to keep an eye on in terms of referendums. What is and what is not a referendum in that particular race. I'm heartened. Now, this is good. At Ellis Cannon on Twitter. At Ellis Cannon comes from Ron. I'm an atheist. I find it heartening that religious is fading. Fewer and fewer people are religious. Imagine 20 years from now. Whether the Catholic Church reorganization is sinister or not, they need to close churches because no one goes. The latter part, whether the Catholic reorganization is sinister or not, is sort of what we're talking about. It is what we're talking about, and I've got people that want to do it right now from Greensburg, Forest Hills, and more. And if you're an atheist, you're an atheist. I mean, you do you. I mean, I got other things. And I understand because you believe in that, that you get some confirmation or validation in seeing religion, quote-unquote, fading. Just like I imagine you would find some distress if religion was gaining. By definition, I understand that. And I do know that fewer and fewer people are religious. I agree with you. I think we've become more secularized as a culture. But I ask this question seemingly, half dozen times a week. If you want to be an atheist and you're an atheist, you're entitled to be an atheist, go be an atheist. Why can't both exist? Why do you have to revel in effect, religion failing? If you're cool with where you are, then whether or not religion is going well or religion is not is, in my mind, largely irrelevant. Unless, of course, you're looking for validation at some level as opposed to distress. Just throwing some analytics into that. But thank you. I appreciate it, Ron, as I appreciate all the points of view. And I'm glad you took the time to tweet me at Ellis Cannon. By the way, very quickly, you can text KDK Radio, 866-391-1020. That text line brought to you by Wright Automotive, the best deal in Pittsburgh. And also Sunday, October 21, that's coming around the corner. That's the 21st, 2 p.m. to 10 p.m. Whoa. As we creep through the streets of Pittsburgh and treat our way into some of the top bars in the historic South Side, this is perfect timing by me. For Devil's Crawl. Matter of fact, I'm doing this promo read a huge justice because of how I just came off of an atheist thing on religion. This is unbelievable. They ought to be thrilled with me at getmyperks.com. Tickets now for the Devil's Crawl. Oh, my. All right, let's go. Let's get started. We're going to go to Ann. She's been wonderful. Ann, you're in Forest Hills. Where are we on this reorganization? And for that matter, just about anything else you've heard here today on the church.
Well, hi, Ellis. Thank you for taking my call.
Pleasure.
My feeling is that a lot of church is also community. And what we're doing here is really ripping church communities apart. So let me give you an example of St. John Fisher Church in Churchill, where you have a group of people who go to 8 o'clock Mass every morning. Well, St. John Fisher will only have 8 o'clock Mass now on Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. No one will have 8 o'clock Mass on Saturday because of the new rule that a priest can only say three Masses on a weekend, and the morning Mass on Saturday now is considered a weekend Mass. The pastor there, Father Gentile, has handled this parish for 24 years beautifully and has 8 o'clock Mass every morning, has a Saturday night Mass, has two more Masses on Sunday. When he needs help, he gets a retired priest to help him, or a student from Duquesne University, a priest from Africa, will come and help him. Well, this schedule, of course, is now in shreds. These people now have their pastor who did not ask to be a retired pastor, but he's out. He loses his home, of course, where he's lived for 24 years. He loses his parish family. And my feeling on it is that years ago, we did this with the ethnic parishes. The ethnic parishes were one by one closed and their funds taken and shuttered. So you have St. Mary's in Rankin, the Croatian mm-hmm. church, which will now become a wine bar. I think it's going to be called Mary's Vineyard. Isn't that cute?
Mm.
Sacrilegious. And they were a self-sustaining parish. It was a community.
Well, let me ask you, what's behind it, Ann?
I feel that they need the money to pay off all of these lawsuits, is my opinion. I believe that the first wave of closures, I believe that money probably went for the hush money that was paid to different people, and I believe now this money will be paid in lawsuits.
Now, let me ask you this. I don't know, Ann. I mean, are you a conspirator? I mean, is this something that you believe, that a lot of people believe in your world? I mean, how prevalent is this? Because I'm trying to get my arms around this.
Oh, I think a lot of people believe it. A lot of people, especially ethnic people. If you ask how those churches went, and it's just very troubling to me. I will keep my faith because my faith is deeper than the people who are doing these things.
Well, let me ask you this real quickly, and I hate to cut you, but I want to make sure that as you might imagine, a lot of people are on this.
Sure.
St. John Fisher what's the future of that parish? I mean, I hear about all these other ones that are consolidated out east and other places as well.
Well, it's interesting. I don't know what the future of that parish is. That parish, if you go there, the church is perfect. The grounds are gorgeous. Father opened that place up to the community. For years, my kids were in the music department at Woodland Hills High School, and every Christmas, he invited the whole music department in, moved the altar, had a big concert in the church. Afterwards, everybody went downstairs for refreshments, all the families. Every October, a clothing drive. Where was that clothing taken? To the Braddock Library, the free library in Braddock, Carnegie Library, given to the people. I mean, there's an Easter egg hunt.
I understand.
The community. Father has made it a community.
Okay, so hold on.
We know what's going to happen to it.
Okay, so we don't
frankly.
Know what's going to go on with the parish. Let's put that aside, because I mentioned earlier, is it about the church or the parish, or is it about the priest? And obviously, you've got grave concerns as it affects not just the service, but potentially the priest, who you're clearly enamored with. I understand all of that. And I have literally 15 seconds. But hasn't the train left the station? I mean, they're doing a reorganization.
And we'll reorganize, and we'll do it. But, you know, you just ask yourself, why?
Well, if you go to where you just went, then it becomes a much bigger issue beyond perhaps even what I was thinking about, even though I raised it more rhetorically or without a whole great deal of knowledge. But you could connect the dots, and it doesn't seem to be together all out of line. Well, that's your thought. Let me know what you think. 866-391-1020. Let's get over to the sheriff. DK Radio Midday, I'm Ellis Cannon. Indulge me, please. Please indulge me. Here's why I really love doing this and what I love about it. there are days when Buffy could do the show. Buffy was our older dog. Anybody could do the show. Anybody. I mean, as a topic that the whole world's talking about and what have you. And then there are shows, and that's all we talk about. Then there are shows where not everybody could talk about it. But I can. And I can make it an auto topic. So we have an auto topic that because it just it's everybody could do it because everybody's talking about it. And then there's the auto topic that I make, that I at least have the confidence that I can make, meaning reaching in and finding a place that connects with you and selling it and working it and being passionate about it and informed about it and thought-provoking and opinionated about that we can make it work. And for 3 hours, that's all you're going to get. People say, how can you take those many phone calls? I mean, that's what I do. I don't know. There's a thousand things I can't do. Then there's days where we have like mini shows. And today's a little bit like that, where we've got almost like 15, 20-minute increments of different things. And that is neat, too. And having both of them, having such a good audience that could be part of that, it's just, forgive me, I ask you for your forgiveness. It's just very rewarding. Like passing on to Melania is the most bullied person in the world. Not really, but I love Melania. Talking about the Catholic Church right now, a little bit later I'm going to be updating you on a couple political fronts, including who Dina Powell is and why that may be important to you. In the meantime, let's get over. I want to make sure I get this correct. It's Janice in Greensburg. Janice, welcome to the show.
Hi, Ellis. Thank you for taking my call.
Pleasure.
I have two. I am a Roman Catholic, but I don't practice, unfortunately. Since this scandal came up like maybe 15 years ago, over the last 4 or 5 years, I've just drawn away from it for now. But I'm trying to get as much information as I can, and I have two items. Number one, Donald Wuerl, did he go back to the Vatican to turn in his resignation, and did he return from the Vatican? And the reason I ask that is once they're in the Vatican State, there's no way that any government can do anything to him. He's protected. And that concerns me because I haven't heard anything about him.
Well, we knew that he was intending to resign. He made that clear. He had it in some online version and apparently spoke to that. He was going there with that purpose, and I haven't heard anything recently. Now, if you're suggesting he's going to go there because it's an embassy and, in effect, he's, you know, going to be protected if he's not, I don't see, and again, I'm on the outside looking in, but just based on what I know, I don't see the necessity of that.
Well, it's a protection because he still could be charged with in civil lawsuits for his cover-up of cases and more recent cases also.
But even if that was the case, in all likelihood, he would have done that clearly in the capacity of working within the church, and so the church would offer that protection in a civil case, whether or not he was here or there.
Well, it just concerns me because I think McLarity is there now, the former Archbishop of Washington D.C. He's in the Vatican and he's praying. That's his penance, quiet and pray. And I'm just concerned. So as I say, I haven't heard anything. And if anybody out there in your listening audience knows if he did in fact go and he has returned, that would be one of my that would answer my question. And the second thing on the Catholic Church, I wanted to suggest to you and to your listeners a very good book called the title is In God's Name. It's the author is David Yallop, and that's Yallop. This book was written in 1984, and it concerns the sudden death after 33 days in office of Pope John Paul I.
Yeah, I remember that. I remember it well.
Okay, and that this book delves into the money issue at the Vatican Bank and the Vatican and the Catholic Roman Catholic Church in general. And this particular Pope, John Paul I, was a humble man. And when he got in to his new office as Pope, he discovered this vast wealth that he could not understand. He wanted to share, to liquidate, share the wealth with the poor throughout the world. And so, like, for people who are saying that the Catholic Church could go bankrupt if things, you know, like if the two-year window is allowed and all that, if they kind of get a hold of this book, and there's probably others out there.
There's a lot of research on the Catholic holdings and real estate and a variety of other places that
exactly.
would...
Exactly. According to this author, they own more real estate than any nation or, you know, billionaire in the world. So, I mean, that's just one avenue. But you really, you know, I'm just saying to investigate. Don't go with the theory that they're going to go bankrupt.
Because yeah, I
understand. They can go back to being humble and be a church and guide us and lead us and help people.
Thank you, Janice. Janice, I got to run, if you don't mind. But I want to do
that. Okay, Rachel Del Tondo was my other thought. What's going on with that? Goodbye, and thank you for my call.
Thank you. Aren't I supposed to thank her? That's okay, though. That's okay. I just had to move along. All right, very quickly, I'm going to ask if she could do this. Debbie, you're in Moon Township. Now, this thing that was raised by this other woman pertaining to that she truly believes that all these consolidations are done and so forth with the idea of paying off legal bills and hush money and things of that sort. Do you want to comment on that in 30 seconds, or do you want me to put you on hold and you can come back?
I'll come back.
All right. No, don't go anywhere. I just put you on hold. You're okay, Kuma. Don't worry about it. As a matter of fact, I'm going to get out now so I have more time for you. Scotty, you're there, right? If you're there, let's go to Scott. I promised Debbie I'd get her. Debbie, so now you have 45 seconds. Tell me about conspiracy, this woman that raised it earlier.
Well, I can tell you, 23 years ago, they did not have a shortage of priests like they claim they do today, which we do have a shortage of priests. But in the Beaver County, down in the Ambridge, they consolidated all the ethnic churches down there. And, you know, what was really amazing is I was a member of St. Stanislaus, which was a Polish church, and we had quite a bit of money put aside because our church was like a little mini cathedral and we needed a new roof. And there was like $280,000 in our coffer. And right after the closure, not long after that, I would say within 2 years, Bishop Worrell became bishop. We also noticed when our original pastor died years before that. We
got to put you on hold again. Either that or you got to go by. I got to get over to Rose.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.